ॐ भरताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिकां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृत परशिनीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धतामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वैषिणी. Chapter 4:15, verse 15. Evan yatwa kritam karma. Evan yatwa kritam karma. Purvai rati mumukshubihi. Purvai rati mumukshubihi. Kuru karmai vatasmatvam. Kuru karmai vatasmatvam. Purvaiv purvataram kritam. Purvaiv purvataram kritam. Evam jnatva kritam karma purvaihi api mumukshubhihi. Kuru karma eva tasmat tvam purvaihi purvataram kritam. In the previous verse, Krishna said, the karmas, after talking about himself as an avatar and as Ishwara, as being the creator, the one from whom the whole creation has come, the creator of the creation, the one who sustains it, the one who resolves it, but at the same time, being free from any type of action, any type of change. So then he says, these karmas, none of these karmas touch me at all. Limpanti means they don't stain me. Limpanti means to stain, like to drop ink on something is to stain, to sully me. So these karmas, they don't touch me in any way, nor do I have any spriha. Spriha means like in a desire, an attachment for the karmapala. So the karmas don't touch me, nor do I have like that kama, desire or sankalpa, let me have this, or a resolve that I have this be in this particular way. There's no sankalpa like that. There's no spriha. There's no attachment for the fruits of the actions. Then he says, the one who knows mam yaha abhijanati, he who knows me in this way, because he's talking about himself as Ishwara, means talking about the self who is Ishwara. So he is the self. Krishna now is talking about Brahman. So he who knows me in this way, the one who is not touched at all by karmas, because the jivas also are not touched at all by karma. But this is where the Mahavakya is. So the one who knows me in this way, that person too, karma bihi nasa bhajate. That person also is not bound by karma. So now he's given this verse, which is considered a Mahavakya. The one who understands this, that one understands that I too am not touched by karma. But I also am free from karma. So the one who understands it, that person also is free. So now he says, now, evam jnatva, having understood in this manner. Because now, having understood in this manner means having understood, like for instance, Ishwara is the one from who is the creator of the entire creation and is at the same time free from action. Who is the sustainer of the entire creation? At the same time, akarta. So Krishna is the karta, the creator, and akarta, the one who does no action. The one who understands Ishwara as that understands themselves as that also. I am both the karta and the akarta. While I'm the karta, the doer, I am akarta. Okay? So, evam jnatva, having understood in this way, karma kritam purvaihi api mumukshubihi. The karmas, understanding in this manner, the karmas were done by the mumukshus of old. Purvaihi mumukshus. Means the mumukshus, all the mumukshus, those who desire liberation, all of those mumukshus that are purva, in the past. Purva means before. So in the past, all of the mumukshus, having understood in this way, they did karma. Okay? Karma kritam. He says, tasmat, therefore, kuru karma eva tvam. Therefore, you do karma also. Your swabhava, what you need to do now, just like the mumukshus of the old did, the mumukshus before you did karma, you too need to do karma. Kuru karma is imperative. May you do karma, which is like an order. You do karma you do karma alone, karma eva. Karma alone is there for you to do. He says, purvaihi purvataram kritam. In the same way, purvataram means the distant past. By those who came before you, in the same way it was done by those who came before you. Right? And so, in the Bhasha, Shankara says, he says, just like the mumukshus, mumukshus is those who are desirous of liberation, those who are seeking liberation. So just like those mumukshus in the past, just in the same way that they did karma, you do that also. You do it in that way also. Then he says, na tushyam asanam. Not just sitting silently for you. Tushnim is silently. Asanam, sitting. It's not tushnim asanam, not just sitting silently. Then he says also, na sannyasaha karatavyaha, nor is sannyasa to be taken by you. Renunciation. Don't take the orange and go to the forest. Nor just decide to sit down silently, as though that's going to get you liberation. So he says that you can. That's not for you. Then what does he say? Then he says something really beautiful. He says, "Yadi anatmanyaha." If you are someone who doesn't anatmanyaha, if you are someone who doesn't have self-knowledge, so if a person, if you don't have self-knowledge, then what? Tada then. Atma shudyartam. You do karma for the sake of antikarana shuddhi. Karma yoga. So if you don't have self-knowledge, you're a mumukshu, you're a seeker, you don't have self-knowledge yet, then you need to do karma, means karma yoga, for atma shudyartam, same as antikarana shuddhi, for the sake of purifying your mind, so that your mind becomes freed from raga dvesha, so that your mind is not seeking all the time to become happy in the world or to use the world as a means for your ananda. So resolving these likes and dislikes. So having that karma yoga buddhi. So you do actions in the world so that you can attain that antikarana shuddhi. If that knowledge is not there yet, anatma, anatmajnaha. If you are not an atmajnaha, one who knows the self.
What was that again?
Atmajnaha. One who knows the self is atmajnaha. An-atmajnaha, one who doesn't know the self. Right? So if you are an-atmajnaha, then you do karma for antikarana shuddhi. Then he says, tatvavit chait. But if you do know the self, tatvavit, if you do know the truth, if you're someone who knows the truth, then what? Then he says? He says, loka sangrahartam. Then you do karma for blessing the people in order to help. You do karma for the sake of others in order to help the people. Loka sangrahartam. Artam means for the sake of. Loka sangraha. It literally means for protecting the people. Right? Keeping the people, helping the people to stay in the track, to stay within dharma. And helping the people who need to gain knowledge. Setting an example. So for blessing the people, you stay in the world and you do karma. If you're a tatravit, if you're a jnani. Yeah. If you're an ajnani, who's a seeker, then you do karma for antikarma shuddhi. Very, very simple. Either way, stay in the world. Then he gives an example. He says, like the ancients in ancient times, just karmas, like they did. Like who? Like Janaka. King Janaka, for instance, who was a great jnani. He was a king. He stayed in the world and he upheld the Dharma and helped others. He stayed in the world for the sake of other people, acted for the sake of others. He had jnana, but he was there in the world. So he says, like those who came before, that then the idea is, then he says, in the Bhashya, he says, not like it's done today. Not talking to Arjuna. Not how people just, and what he means is this, people in the world today, regular people, why do they do karma? It's not about karma yoga. Karma is done for karma pala. Right? If you do karma, it's because I do this so that I can be happy. Right? The karma has everything to do with raga dvesha. The karmas that you do, the actions that you do, have everything to do with fulfilling your desires so that you can be happy. Right? So now Krishna is saying, I'm not telling you to do karma for that. I'm telling you to do karma as a mumukshu for antikarma shuddhi. So they say, even with Janaka, Janaka did karma for antikarma shuddhi, staying in the world, and once he became a jnani, he did it for loka sangrahartham, for helping others. Right? So sometimes I think of Swamiji. Because he's done so much. Before he gained knowledge, he spent so many years with karma yoga, and helping Sri Swamiji and doing working day and night. In fact, he did so much activity, you know. And then after he gained knowledge, he did so much activity. Still doing so much, you know. It has nothing to do with sitting quietly in the Himalayas. Not that you can't do that, but that isn't the point. That isn't the point. If you're a sannyasi, depending upon your prarabdha, you might have become a sannyasi and all you do is sit, you know, because you're as a jnani. You sit and you're with yourself. Because you have your tetravit, you're a jnani. You have the antikarma shuddhi, and then your karma, because of your karma, you may sit someplace and just be with yourself, and that's what you do. And if you have a few students, maybe you have no students. Maybe just sitting with yourself, being with yourself. If the antikarma shuddhi is there. This is the whole thing, understanding about sannyasa. If you take the sannyasa, this is what he really doesn't want Arjuna to do, even though Arjuna thinks he should do that. He keeps telling him over and over, you can't do that, it won't work. Say you go, take sannyasa, thinking you just will go and you'll be a great swami and just sit with yourself. But your mind won't let you do that. Your mind will make mincemeat out of you.
wipe you out
because the mind hasn't worked out its raga dveshas. It hasn't matured in terms of your desires and that type of thing. It hasn't had a chance to mature in the light of your knowledge, and so it's really not capable of enjoying sitting quietly, and so it will sit but restlessly and fantasizing and worrying about and wondering what should happen next. Right? And so that's what Krishna keeps saying throughout the Gita. This is not the way. The way is karma yoga. You gain knowledge, just like you have to always remember in this Gita, the Lord Krishna is fully and completely giving Arjuna this knowledge. He is not holding back at all. He's giving Arjuna the entire vision of Vedanta, and at the same time teaching him the means that is necessary for antikarma shuddhi. So that how to have this vision, you know, before, when you gain this vision, what is the best way to be gaining this vision in terms of facilitating your mind's neutralizing its likes and dislikes and neutralizing unconscious material, which is going to be everybody's plight. You know, it's not just some freaks have that problem. or the unqualified have. Everybody has the problem. Everybody has the problem of neutralizing likes and dislikes so that their mind becomes what we call sarvakarma sannyasa. It becomes a mind which is free from all karma, right? Because of recognizing the akarta, that the atma is akarta. And so this is exactly what Shankara has to, I mean, what Krishna has to teach now. So he says, so this he's just introducing, and he says, so for, if you've having known this, having known what I'm teaching, understood what I've been teaching, karma was done by the mumukshus from before, like Janaka. They all did karma. Having understood this, then they all did karma. Therefore, you do karma also, he says, just as they did. Not the karma that is just done today by people, not the karma that is seeking raga dvesha, but to fulfill your likes and dislikes. Not that. The karma yoga, you know, karma yoga for the sake of antakarma shuddhi, for that reason you do karma. And if you have knowledge, then you do it to protect the people, to bless the people. So then he has more to say now. So he tells now that Shankara makes this little bridge. He says, he has Arjuna say, Arjuna says, if you're what you want, you tell me, he's talking to Krishna, if you tell me that karma is to be done, from your statement alone, I will do the karma. Because you tell me to do karma, I'll do the karma. But then he says, why are you qualifying it? Why are you qualifying it by bringing in this idea of the people from the ancient past? Why are you qualifying this karma, like saying you do the karma just as the people in the ancient past have done? Why is it necessary for you to bring in that? This is how karma, Shankara introduces it. He says, yasmat, because mahat vaishamya karmani. He says, because it is very difficult to understand karma. There's a lot of vaishamya, means confusion in reference to karma, to understanding. So it means he wants to now really unfold what karma is and what's a karma. What does it mean to do karma? And what does it mean not to do karma? Right? Because Arjuna himself, when he thinks, I'm not going to do any karma, I'm going to go sit. So for Arjuna, karma has to do with doing actions, and akarma has to do with sitting. See what I mean? So karma and akarma are just relative terms. I'm either doing something or I'm not doing something. Right now, if I'm sitting quietly, I'm not doing anything. That's akarma. And so this is how it often is understood, and Krishna realizes this, and so that's how Krishna introduced it. So let's do this next verse and see. This is exactly what Krishna says. Kim karma kim akarameti, kim karma kim akarameti, kavayo pyatra mohitaha, kavayo pyatra mohitaha. Tate karma pravakshami, tate karma pravakshami, yajnatva mokshase shubhat, yajnatva mokshase shubhat. Kim karma, kim akarma iti. Kavyaha api atra mohitaha. Tat te karma pravakshami yaj nyatva mokshase ashubhat. Okay. Kim karma. What is karma? Kim karma. What is karma? What is action? What do you mean by karma? Kim akarma. What is akarma? What is karma? What is akarma? Inaction. What is action? What is inaction? Iti. Kavyaha. Kavyaha means the Medhavis. The Medhavis are those people who are seers, the people who have a real understanding of all of this knowledge. They understand and they remember, right? It's not like it's just a bunch of facts that they've memorized. They have understanding and they know what they understand. They remember what they understand. They're medhavis. So they're great seers. So even the very intelligent ones, even the very intelligent ones who have studied all of this, those kavis, kavis also means poets. So even them, atra here, in reference to this, so kaviyaha api, even these kavis, even these medhavis, here are mohitaha. They're all confused. Right? Moha means confusion. Mohita is past, passive, participle. They also are very confused in reference to what is karma and what is akarma. Tete karma pravakshami. So, I am going to teach you, I will teach you that karma. Te means tat, means that karma. Tat karma, that karma, te, to you. I will teach that to you. Pravakshami, I'm going to tell you that. Future tense. Yajnyatwa, knowing which, moksha se, you will be liberated. Future, knowing which, you will be liberated. You will be freed. Ashubat. Ashubat means that which does not resolve happily. Shubha means that which ends well. It ends happily. So it's shubha. Ashubha, it doesn't end well. It's another word for samsara. Right? Ashubha means that it never comes out, it never ends well, because even if in samsara everything is means and ends. Everything's raga dvesha means and ends. We're all searching for ananda, searching for wholeness, searching for happiness. And even if you get a glimpse of it, you get a moment of it, unfortunately, that moment comes to an end. And therefore, it never ends well. Because even if the result is whole and complete, it's a temporary, finite whole and complete. And so therefore, the completeness always falls off a cliff. So that's ashubha. So you'll be liberated from that ashubha, once from that samsara. So it's another word for it, samsara. Another way of taking that, Swamiji talks about in his commentary, although he tends to take it this first way first, is that ashubha also means doubt. You'll be released from this doubt. Because in the verse it says, even the medhavis, even the kavis, the seers, were confused over what is karma, what is not. So let me teach you what karma is. And writes in the Bhasha, Shankara makes clear, let me teach you what karma is. Karma means karma, akarma, everything to do with karma. What is karma? What is akarma? Let me teach you, let me tell you clearly. Pra, the pravakshati, that pra, vakshati means let me tell you. Pravakshati means let me tell you clearly, fully, wholly. Let me completely, in other words, let me completely and clearly explain to you. What is karma? What is akarma? Knowing which, you will be freed from all of these doubts, from this confusion. But in the primary meaning that Swamiji and Shankara takes is samsara. You will be freed from this samsara, because samsara is all about karma. Right? There's no escape from karma within samsara. And there is no such thing as a karma within samsara. You'll start to say, you know, like karma, you think of karma as doing an action, and sitting is not a karma. But actually sitting itself is an action. This is an action that you're doing. So you say, breathing is karma, holding my breath is a karma, is, you know. But holding your breath also requires action, right? It's holding. The action is one of holding. Sitting, the action is one of stillness. Holding still. Anything within the creation is only karma. There is no such thing as a karma. And yet people think of giving up my duties. See, if you think of samsara, taking sannyasa is giving up my karmas. Giving up all of my duties, giving up all of my responsibilities. So I'm giving up my karmas, I become a karma. See what I mean? I take to the forest and I sit and I don't do any of those duties, so I take to a karma. And Shankara is going to say, Bhagavan will say, this is not a karma. This also is karma. Any activity that involves a karta, a doer, is karma. If the doer is sitting, is doing the act of sitting, it's karma. If the doer is holding his or her breath, that is karma. If the doer is sitting completely in still in meditation, the karta is, that is karma. Right? Because if there's a karta, then whatever the karta does is a karma. Right? Karta karma is there. And so this is where the confusion is. You think that there's some karma in samsara. There's some akarma in samsara. But as long as the karta is there, there's no akarma. See what I mean? So this karta karma thing has to be understood. And akarma becomes only the atma. Right? So here he introduces that. You know, he says, everybody's confused about this. It has to be explained clearly. Explaining it clearly, in fact, you will be free from samsara. Means explain, having understood this confusion between karma and akarma, you'll be released from samsara. From that, you'll be released from that which doesn't end well. And it's really amazing, and it's true. If you understand karma, akarma, you understand satya mitya. You understand the nature of the self. So that's what he's saying here. So, let's do this next.
Is that all?
Yeah, because it's just a question. Karmano hyati karmano hyati bodhavyam karmano hyati bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha akarmanascha bodhavyam akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi gahana karmano gatihi karmanaha hi api bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha akarmanaha cha bodhavyam gahana karmanaha gatihi. Shankara introduces this nicely. He says, Nacha etat tvaya mantavyam. He says, don't think of talking to, having Krishna talk to Arjuna. Don't think of it like this. He says, how? That, what is karma nama, what we call karma normally, karma nama, what is known as karma, is dehadi cheshta. The cheshta, the activity of the body, etc. Cheshta means movement. So any karma has to do with the activity of the body, etc. Body, mind, sense organs. Those are the actions. Those are karmas. This is, have people, loka prasiddham. This is normally how people think of it in the world. Shankara uses this term all the time. Loka prasiddham. Means it is prasiddham. It is well understood, well established in the world. If you say it's loka prasiddham, this is how everybody thinks about it. What do we say? Karma? It's any activity. Activity of the body, etc. That's a karma. That's an action. He said, don't think of it like that. Then he says, and then what's more? He says, and what we call akarma, akarma nama, how do people think of akarma? Ted akriya. The non-action, the not doing, not the non-doing of the body, etc. Ted akriya. So this is, he says, akarma nama. What people normally think of as akarma is ted akriya. The not doing, the non-doing of any type of action of the body. Not doing of what? This dehadi cheshta. So what's an example? Tushnim asanam. Sitting quietly. You know, like asana? Asanam. Tushnim. quietly, sitting still. That would be an akriya. That's how people in the world think of karma. And so that way, he says, kim tatra bodhavyam. So what's to be known there? It's clear. In other words, so what's to know about that? Right? Karma is when the body's acting. Akarma is when it's sitting quietly. So that's that. Right? So he says, thus, so what to make of it? So he says, so now he says, he does the verse. He says, there karmanaha api bodhavyam. He says, there's something to be known about karma. And he says, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha. And there's something to be known about vikarma. So here so Krishna is really going to kind of get into karma now. He says, there's something to be known that you need to understand about karma and something to be understood about vikarma. Karma here, he's talking about those karmas which are vihita karmas, the karmas which are enjoined by the Shruti, all of the actions and activities that you should do, because the whole karmakanda, the whole first portion of the Vedas, has to do with enjoining karmas on you, things that are to be done, dharma, the actions that are to be done by you. So there's something to be known about the karmas, and there's something to be known about vikarmas, those actions that are prohibited. So now just with these two, you've got karma, vikarma, the things that you shouldn't do. Like in Swamiji's Bhasha, if you'll say like, there's one, he always quotes this, suryana pibet, don't drink. Because the suryan means alcohol. Napibate. One should not drink. Napibate. It's a potential. One must not. One should not drink what? Suryam. Alcohol. Okay. One should not drink alcohol. There's another one that says one should not eat flesh. One should be a vegetarian. Right? One should not eat animal food like that.
Huh.
So all these are what we call nishiddha karmas. They're karmas which are prohibited. You know? So in the Vedas, there'll be the things which are enjoined about on you to do, like ahimsa, giving charity, non-injury, all of the duties that are enjoined upon you to do as a human being, all of the good acts that you should do, all the dharma, and all of the adharmas that you need to avoid. Those are the vikarmas. So karma, vikarma. So in the Vedas, yes, there's a whole slew of what we call vihita karmas, enjoined karmas, and nishiddha karmas, forbidden karmas. And that's in the Vedas. We have that, and every culture has it. We know what the things we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. The Ten Commandments are all the things we shouldn't do. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Those thou shalt nots are in the Vedas also. All of these things, the vihitas, the ones that are enjoined in the Vedas, and the ones that are forbidden in the Vedas, are all for antakarna shuddhi. It's all about antakarna shuddhi. Because if you are able to practice the enjoined karmas and avoid the nishiddha karmas, your mind will enjoy the relative shanti that comes from dharma. Okay? So now Krishna is saying there's something to be known, and you know, there's something to be understood about these enjoined karmas. There's something to be known, to be understood about the nishiddha karmas, the prohibited karmas. And akarmanaha cha bodhavyam. And there's something to be understood about akarma. What are the akarmas? What is that? Something to be known about that also. And then he says, gahana karmanaha gatihi. Gahana means very difficult to understand. The gati, the truth. The gati means here, gati means the tattva. The end reaching the end. Means the word that's used for the tattva. The final understanding. Karmanaha. The final understanding of karma, what it actually is gahana. It's difficult to understand. It's confusing. So, we'll see in the Bhashya there, so. See, this is a, from a vague standpoint, it's a very thorough verse, because the whole karmakanda, the whole first portion of the Vedas, has to do with vihita karmas and nishiddha karmas. It means dharma adharma, how to be in the world. And you can look at the whole first part of the Vedas as how to be in the world as a samsari, so that you can have relative protection, right, from the world by through the practice of dharma. But it's also the means for, if you are within the, held by the vision of the Vedas, it's really the means for antakarana shuddhi, because it keeps your antakarana within dharma, right? And so that atma, antakarana, atma shuddhyartam, for the sake of atma shuddhi, for the sake of antakarana shuddhi, the whole karmakanda becomes a means for attaining that antakarana shuddhi, right? Now, the antakarana shuddhi is necessary for atmajnanam. And what you gain from atmajnanam is the akarma, the akarta. The karta has to, and the karta, the jiva, has the whole karmakanda to understand the karma, the actions that are enjoined and the actions that are forbidden, in order to have a relative shanti that can allow you to gain the vision of the Jnanakanda, the Upanishads, which is that this karta, who is practicing the vihita karmas and abstaining from the vikarmas, is a karta, right? And that, in fact, the atma has never done any karma and never will do any karma and has always been free from karma. So he says, this is confusing. it's very confusing. This vision has to be unfolded, because this is where all the superimposition, what we call this anyonya adyasa, this mutual superimposition, is totally involved at the level of the karta. The level of the karta is the ahankara. Right? The ahankara is the I notion. I take myself to be a karta. And as long as I take myself to be a karta, a doer, then this vihita and nishiddha karmas, the enjoined karmas and the forbidden karmas and antakarana shuddhi, karma yoga, all of these things are extremely important. And it's important not to do the vikarmas. You know, because they cause ashuddhi in the mind. They cause pain in the mind. A dharma causes pain and agitation and isolation in the mind. Dharma causes shanti and peace in the mind. And so understanding the difference between the enjoined karmas and the forbidden karmas, understanding karma yoga, is essential for learning how to be in the world. For what we call kaushalam. When we talk about karma yoga, remember there's two aspects to it. One is just prasada buddhi. Prasada buddhi means where I take everything as prasadam from the Lord. All the results of, this is as for a karma yogi. I take all of the results of my actions as prasad from Ishwara. That brings about ashanti. But the other is kaushalam, means I have a skillfulness in action. Skillfulness in action means what? I can discern between dharma and adharma. I'm able to do the vihita karmas and avoid the nishiddha karmas. I'm able to discern in a situation what is appropriate, proper action. That's kaushalam. So these two aspects are necessary for karma yoga, to be able to discern proper action in a given situation, and then to be able to accept the results of all actions as with the prasada buddhi. That is the karta. By doing that, the karta, the one who is the mumukshu, right, who has this sense of doership, for that one, the mind becomes peaceful. And it is that mind that has the shanti that is able to receive, to gain this vision. And so that's why the Karma Yoga is so important for the mumukshu, so that they have a buddhi that has relative shanti, mind that has relative shanti, so that the knowledge that Krishna is giving this whole Upanishad, you know, to the Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna, but Arjuna has to be able to receive it and to hold it. And that requires a Karma Yoga buddhi. That Karma Yoga buddhi will allow the Vedanta Pramana to make Arjuna, make you, make the seeker, recognize that I am akarta. And that akarta is there, present to the karma. So he says, this is, you know, not easy. Difficult, very difficult to understand all of this. Let's do this, introduce this next verse. Karmanya karma yav pashet. Karmanya karma yav pashet. Akarmani cha karma yaha. Akarmani cha karma yaha. Sabuddhiman manusheshu. Sabuddhiman manusheshu. Sayukta kritsna karma krit. Sayukta kritsna karma krit. Karmani akarma yaha pashet. Akarmani chakarma yaha. Sa buddhiman manusheshu. Saha yuktaha kritsna karma krit. He says, now Krishna says, the one who sees karma in akarma, karmani in karma, akarma, yaha pashet, he who sees akarma in karma, akarmani cha karma yaha, and he who sees karma in akarma. He who sees akarma in karma, and he who sees karma in akarma, sah buddhiman manusheshu. That person is buddhiman, is a wise person. Among all the human beings, manusheshu, among all people, sah buddhiman, that person is a wise person. Sah yuktaha, that person's a yogi. Yogi means that person has realized. And that person, that yogi, is Krishna Karma Krit. That person is, when we say a Krishna Karma Krit, it means that person has done all there is to be done. Krishna means the whole karma, all karma krit. That person has done what is to be done. That's a word that we use for a Ajnani, a Jivan Mukta. What is to be done has been done. That person has done what is to be done. The one who sees karma in akarma, and sees akarma in karma, that person is wise. That person has done what is to be done. This verse, Shankara has 5 pages of Bhasha. He really, because the whole thing, the satya mitya, is here in this verse. So it's a huge verse. So I'm going to save it for next week, this verse and the next one. Because he goes so, I'm going to actually go through some of the arguments that and things that he brings up. Because the whole Vedanta is in this. You know, so let's stop here. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.